Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the rebirth of Israel as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 32. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Be it known unto you, be ashamed, and be confounded for what you have done, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I also will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. Oh, the Sharon Valley, the Sharon Plains, the Valley of Megiddo, waste, desolate, marshlands. They're like the Garden of Eden, so lush and so beautiful. This prophecy is fulfilled. You can go over and just travel around Israel and see how verdant and productive that little land is. The ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Well, you can't get much stronger than that. And he did. He's done it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them as men like a flock. As the holy flock and as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now in chapter 37, again a prophecy of the restoration of the nation of Israel, the rebirth of the nation. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. So Ezekiel, taken now by the Spirit in this vision, to this valley that was filled with these bones, and it caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord God, you know. In other words, I don't know. I can't see it, but you know, God. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now the Lord explained the vision. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. They've been cut off and separated from each other. Little bands of Jews in Germany, in Europe, in France, in England, in the United States, in China, in Yemen, and all in Russia, all over the world. Little scatterings of Jews, but they've been scattered throughout the entire earth. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So the promise that God would give them national life again, that which had been dead for 19 centuries, would come alive. And they would be a nation once more. I'll bring you back into the land. A marvelous prophecy of the rebirth of the nation Israel. Then the Lord came and again and said unto me, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, that they shall become one in thy hand. So he took the two sticks and then joined them together so they became just one stick. One was to be marked Joseph, the other was to be marked Judah. And when the children of the people shall speak unto you, saying, What are you trying to show us? What do you mean by this? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall be they divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Now, very obvious what God is saying. Extremely obvious. In fact, it's about as obvious as any scriptures can be. What the Lord is seeking to say to the people, when the nation is reborn, regathered, rather than being a divided nation as it was when they went into captivity, the northern kingdom with the capital of Samaria and the southern kingdom with the capital of Jerusalem, rather than being two nations, Judah and Israel, when they come back in the last days and are brought back into the land and made a nation again, rather than two nations, there will only be one nation. Judah and Joseph, or Ephraim, the tribes of Israel, will be gathered together as one nation, no longer as a double nation. Very obvious. It is almost laughable. It is so ridiculous and idiotic for Joseph Smith to claim that his name is in the Bible and he was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, for the stick of Joseph was to be the Book of the Mormon that God would give to him, and joined together with the Bible would be the continuation of the Bible and God's word for man in these last days. That is so completely far-fetched that a person would have to lay his brains on the shelf to accept any kind of an interpretation of the scripture that way. I mean, God told us what he was talking about. God said these two sticks are the two nations, and when they come, join them together, because there will only be one nation when they come back into the land. Now, I would have to say that anybody that can interpret that into the scripture, I would not want to be following their biblical expositions or trust myself to their teaching. When you can gather that kind of stuff out of this scripture, you can make red read green. I mean, that's as far-fetched as anything could ever be. And if you're a Mormon here tonight, it's just straight from the shoulder. Look at it. And question in your mind the things that you're being taught. For you know that they have taught you that this stick with Joseph on it was actually a prophecy concerning Joseph Smith. But if you can find that in this verse, or in this passage or in its context, then you can find snow in hell. I mean, it's just not there. So God plainly declares, I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, this of course goes into the future when Jesus Christ comes to establish the kingdom, and he will sit upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment from henceforth even forever, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, the good shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and ye shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God is going to dwell amongst his people. I will tabernacle among them. My tabernacle or my dwelling place will be there. So Christ living here upon the earth in the kingdom age, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Now, when we get to chapter 40, he begins to describe for us the sanctuary that is to be built. Now in chapter 38, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief, and the word translated chief is the word Rosh. And most Bible scholars say that the Rosh translated chief should be translated in modern English, Russia, for Rosh is a reference to the modern Russia. The word chief there. So the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Meshech is the ancient name for Moscow, Tubal of Tobolsk, the Russian cities. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth and all of your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, along with Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all of his band, the house of Torgarma of the north quarter and all of his bands and many people with thee. So now the prophecy turns and is directed towards Magog, which is the ancient name for those people who lived in the area of the Caucasus and the mountains north of the Caucasus, which is the present day area of Russia, along with Meshech and Tubal, which people were the ancient Scythians that inhabited the area known as Russia today. Along with Persia, which, of course, Russia is a part of the ancient Persia, along with Iraq and Iran. Ethiopia and Libya, along with Gomer, which is Germany, but mainly Eastern Germany and Poland, along with Togarma, which are your Balkan states, Turkey and Yugoslavia, Romania. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all of your company that are assembled unto thee, and be a guard unto them. For after many days, now here's the time of the prophecy. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now, God is predicting that when Israel is gathered back into the land, that there will come an invasion by these nations, combining themselves together in a massive invasion of the land of Israel. Russia, Eastern Europe, the Balkan states, Iraq, Iran, Libya, and Ethiopia. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, or into a land that really is not able to defend itself against my great power. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now, at the time of the invasion, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all of the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away the cattle and the goods and a great spoil? Sheba and Dedan are Saudi Arabia. Tarshish is England. The young lions could conceivably be the United States, Canada, Australia, are going to object to this invasion. Now, the interesting thing to me is that Saudi Arabia is one of those that objects to the invasion of Russia. I know that when the real showdown comes, Saudi Arabia will be an ally of sorts to Israel. There will be an objection to this invasion by, first of all, Saudi Arabia, England, and the young lions thereof, which again could conceivably be the United States. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, that is the chief prince of Magog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Now take the map, look at Israel, and go straight north from Jerusalem. And you find you come right on into Russia. And Moscow lies almost due north of Jerusalem. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, going to take place in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Now let me say that there has nothing been taking place in history that can be related to these particular prophecies. So let no man tell you that these prophecies have already been fulfilled in some historic experience of the past. For there is nothing in history that can be fitted into these predictions. But the very fact that it says it's in the latter days when Israel has become a nation again and is dwelling in the land puts it in the days in which we presently live. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 17, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all of the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Very interesting prophecy. There will come an internal revolution in the Russian forces. And the prediction here is that part of the destruction will come from a civil war as men begin to turn their swords against their brothers.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 36 through 38 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. And may your life be an instrument in God's hand this week. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and He has used me. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as He empowers you to do His work. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
It is my great pleasure to present Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Acts.
The Acts of the Apostles is an open-ended book. Jesus continues even to the present day to work in the lives of people throughout the world through those who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
This book also includes a special foreword written by Pastor John Corson.
We studied the book of Acts, but we never saw the book of Acts. But we were seeing the moving of the Holy Spirit. Calvary Chapel family, may you always be known as a people who pray in Jesus' name, that it would be Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. May the Jesus movement continue on.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Acts Commentary, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online to read a sneak preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.